this thing in blocks, but this was right. 391. In the book. The light of the world is Jesus.
Coming up quickly. So,
we'll see good attendance that night and have a good time of fellowship. Hopefully there will be some testimonies of what God has been doing with each one of us this year. Obviously, some good singing, as we typically do when we have good sings. And then good fellowship downstairs. Bring some finger food or desserts of some sort. And we'll have a good time. Church will provide everything else as usual. So I think that's all the announcements I know of right now. We'll be singing 393 in just a moment, but why don't we turn to the book of Job first. This is the new memory verse that we just started Sunday. Job 19. Verse 25 is where we are. All right, let's say it together. Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. All right. It's interesting to note that this is a prophecy that, as far as we can tell, was probably at least 4,000 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood. And yet we're still looking forward to this time. Interesting. All right. 393. Following this, we'll take just a moment for prayer requests. 393.
Oh, Donna, you can add to this in case I miss something, but just a small update on Dan Garlick. He's listed there at the bottom of the first page of the bulletin. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of change. They've done chemo and radiation, and it seems to be holding steady. They can't seem to get it to shrink enough so that they can remove it in an operation. And so for now, there's going to be continued treatment to see if they can get it to shrink enough to get it out of there. Currently, it's too big for them to do surgery, so continue to pray for Brother Garlick. Yes, you told me that Sunday. They have a lot of decisions to make there. It's very apparent that she can no longer take care of herself. And her husband, being 92 or 93, whatever he is, has his own difficulties. And so she has said previously that she would desires to be in a nursing home because of this situation. But
he just doesn't want to put her in. I know he doesn't want to. But.
Right. So that's a difficulty. But obviously, that's a situation that we need to pray about. That the Lord will reveal to them exactly what he wants them to do. Clearly, at this point, she can't be at home. She had to go back to the hospital. So, anything else? Dory, how are you doing?
I'm doing.
Okay. We're glad you're here. Glad you're able to be with us. Your shoulder is slowly coming along?
Yeah.
Slowly?
Slowly.
Okay. All right. And anything new on Lydia? She's feeling better?
She's feeling better.
Okay.
Kelly's having some trouble with the shoulder issue that she's dealt with on and off over the years, and it's hurting her right now.
Is it lifting Lydia?
It's
lifting Lydia,
lifting
making
anything.
It worse?
Yeah. She's not able to lift anything right now.
Okay. All right, we'll continue to pray about that too. What about Rachel? Anything new on her? They're still trying to prevent having surgery, right?
Well, eventually she is going to need reconstructive. They're just trying to put it off as long as possible. Yeah. And she gets a lot of popping in there. And the doctor said that the only fix is reconstructive, but she'll lose motion. So he said as long as she can deal with it and it's not painful. And so far, most of what she's doing is okay. It's not hurting her. So she's going to wait as long as she can.
Okay. All right.
I want to say a prayer for traveling mercies. I'm going to my daughter's on Tuesday.
Okay. Barb is going down to visit her daughter on Tuesday, so just pray for safety in that. Kathy, go ahead.
Angie, that was on the prayer list for cancer.
Yes.
She has passed away.
Okay.
She was only 43, and she leaves, I believe, a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. Her husband and her mom, who's very devoted to the family, so they do have some help. She just, in her reading on her Facebook post, she had such a great testimony, the way she sounded and how she was trusting the Lord through all this battle with cancer that went into remission and came back. And then she talked about how she just loved the Mass,
mm-hmm.
Which is disappointing to hear. So just pray for the family that you know, in the light of watching somebody so young die, wonder where they are and you know, look more towards things of eternity and Jesus and the real truth.
Okay. Angie's, she's on the first page of the book. Her cancer had been in remission and came back and passed away. Yes, Donna.
I know Les Corelli is on the list, but we should remember him, especially in prayer, dealing with the side effects of the chemo. Keeps them sometimes from going out to church. He plans to be here, and then at the last minute, he's dealing with some rough side effects. And for Nancy, too, because it's hard on her watching him.
She's doing okay physically at this point, because I know we had her on the list for a while.
Yeah, she's on and off, but right now she's okay.
Okay. Okay, anything else?
Good evening. We're going to do a hymn history tonight. It'll be on number 482 in our blue hymn book, More About Jesus. So if you want to get your book out and you can refer to the book as we go through this, that might be helpful. So, before we start, I'll just have a quick word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we ask that you bless this time that we have here to look at the message about the song and about the things that are related to your word and your son, Jesus Christ. And his name is should be in all that we do. His name is the only name that we are saved by and the greatest name that this world will ever know. Help us to tell others about it. And we just ask that the Holy Spirit be with us tonight. Help us in what we do and all that we do, both here tonight and as we go about our daily lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. The author of this hymn, More About Jesus, is Eliza Hewitt. And she lived 1851 to 1920. The composer of the music is John R. Sweeney. He lived 1837 to 1899. There's a scripture verse that was published along with this hymn history. It's Philippians 3:10, says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And I would say the key phrase is there, that I may know him. And this hymn history deals with knowing more about Jesus. The Christian gospel is thrilling to contemplate. On one hand, it is so simple that even a small child can understand and respond to its basic message, that is, the necessity of placing one's faith in Christ. Yet, at the same time, it is so profound that a lifetime is far too brief to fully comprehend it, since its message really is about a person. That person is Jesus Christ. And to gain a growing knowledge of and relationship to the eternal Son of God. Again and again throughout the ages, sincere men and women have cried out, that I may know him, more about Jesus. The author of this hymn text, Eliza Edmonds Hewitt, was an invalid for an extended period of her life. Out of this experience, she developed an intimate relationship with God and the scriptures and a desire to share her feelings with others through writing. She became a prolific writer of Sunday school literature and children's poems. Eliza had a love for young people and taught Sunday school for most of her adult life. Eventually, her poems came to the attention of gospel musicians such as John R. Sweeney, who began setting them to music. They collaborated on such favorites as "There Is Sunshine in My Soul Today," "Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown?" Eliza Hewitt also has contributed other gospel hymn texts that are still widely sung today, such as "Stepping in the Light," "Give Me Thy Heart," and "When We All Get to Heaven." Eliza Hewitt was born June 28, 1851, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She graduated as valedictorian of her class at the Girls' Normal School in Philadelphia and spent her remaining years in that city. Eliza taught public school for a time, but was soon confined to her bed for a considerable period with a spinal condition. Eliza's song, "There Is Sunshine in My Soul Today," is said to have been written as her expression of gratitude shortly after being relieved of that spinal condition and getting rid of a heavy cast that she had on for 6 months. I imagine that's a body cast. They don't specifically say it, but I guess when you have a spinal condition, that's what it is. And I know people even have a cast on an arm or something like that. You can't wait to get rid of it. So this was probably a very trying time for 6 months to have this cast on while her back was healing. And she wrote that song, "There Is Sunshine in My Soul Today." So it's nice to hear a testimony like that, that a person doesn't, you know, isn't grumbling and moaning and, "Oh, I'm glad I got rid of that thing." You know, maybe she did say that too, but she also thanked the Lord that she was relieved of that. Eventually, Eliza's physical condition improved, and she was able to continue an active life with her Christian ministries. Miss Hewitt was a close personal friend of Fanny Crosby, and these two godly women met often for fellowship and discussion of their hymns. Eliza was also a first cousin of the gospel hymn writer Edgar Page Stites. He wrote "Trusting Jesus" as one of his hymns. In addition to working with John R. Sweeney, Eliza Hewitt also collaborated with such other well-known gospel musicians as William J. Kirkpatrick, B.D. Ackley, Charles Gabriel, E.S. Lorenz, and Homer Rodehever. She died on April 24, 1920, in Philadelphia, having made a notable contribution to the cause of Christ through her hymnody. The composer John R. Sweeney was another of the influential musicians and leaders of the early gospel song movement. He personally composed more than 1,000 hymn tunes, as well as editing or being associated with the publication of more than 60 gospel collections. In addition to working with Eliza Hewitt, he collaborated with such gospel writers as Fanny Crosby and "My Savior First of All." Other gospel favorites for which Mr. Sweeney supplied music include "Tell Me the Story of Jesus," "Fill Me Now," "Take the World But Give Me Jesus," "Victory Through Grace," and "Beulah Land." John R. Sweeney was born in Westchester, Pennsylvania, on December 31, 1837. He became a respected music teacher and conductor in various schools and colleges around the country. For 25 years, Sweeney served as professor of music at the Pennsylvania Military Academy. Prior to 1871, most of his musical compositions had been of a secular nature, but a spiritual crisis occurred in his life that year, however, and for the next 28 years, Sweeney devoted his talents to Christian ministries. He became recognized as one of the most successful song leaders of his time, always in great demand at the large Bible conferences throughout the country. John R. Sweeney died April 10, 1899, in Chester, PA. At his funeral, Ira D. Sankey sang "Beulah Land," a gospel song Mr. Sweeney had composed nearly 25 years earlier. John R. Sweeney wrote the music especially for Eliza Hewitt's text, "More About Jesus," and the complete hymn first appeared in a collection called "Glad Hallelujahs," published in 1887 and edited by William J. Kirkpatrick and John R. Sweeney. Now, I'm sure you have your hymn books open to 482. I think that's the number, 482. Yes. So if you might want to follow along with the words. But before we sing this hymn, I thought we should take a few minutes to look at the words that the songwriter has given us. In the first verse, we see that she has a desire to know more about Jesus, his grace, the fulfillment of salvation that he offers, and the love he showed by dying on the cross for us. In addition to her desire to know about Jesus, she also tells of a desire to show these things to others. In the second verse, she wants to keep learning more about Jesus, to be able to discern his will for her life, and not to be relying on her own abilities in this regard, but to have the Holy Spirit as her teacher, and let him be the one who can show her what things are holy and Christ-like. Now, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul teaches us in his epistle in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. And I'll read those if you want to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and follow along. We'll read verses 12 to 14. Verse 12 starts out saying, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And I think if you're looking for a passage of Scripture that talks about the role of the Holy Spirit being our teacher and our guide, I don't think you could find a better and more clear collection of verses than that. We can see that Miss Hewitt had both a knowledge of the Bible and a willingness to submit to the things she learned there. In the third verse, the message there is about the Bible, and that it is the right place to go for anyone to learn more about Jesus and be in close communion or fellowship with the Lord. She describes her time with the Word of God just as though Jesus was speaking to her as she studied every line of Scripture. She then ends that verse with a desire to make the Scriptures her personal possession, for having a life that is directed by and pleasing to God. I thought that was a nice thought of how what she says in that third verse, hearing his voice in every line. And it's a good way, I think would be a good way of our heart attitude as we're reading the Scriptures, that the Lord is actually speaking to us, and he is. Not audibly, of course, but communicating through our spirit with through his Holy Spirit to our spirit. The fourth verse has Eliza looking into the future time in heaven, where she will know even more about Jesus as she sees him on his great throne, envisioning the glory that is his. She also makes mention of more souls being saved and added to his kingdom, and ends the verse with a proclamation of that great day of Christ's return to earth as the Prince of Peace. The chorus repeats the simple but precious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who loves and saves all those who make it their goal in this life to know more about Jesus and receive his gift of eternal life. And I'm sure that Miss Hewitt would be pleased to know we are enjoying her hymn tonight, and that we share her desire to know more about Jesus and be a testimony to others as she was. The gospel hymns we have are a wonderful testimony to the Christian faith that these songwriters had and their desire to share that faith with those who are lost. And I might add, to share their testimony with other saved Christians and bring joy into our lives and to bless our time of fellowship and meetings together during our church services. God blessed these people with special talents, some with the ability to write God-honoring lyrics, others with the talent to write the musical accompaniment, and yet others with the talents and abilities to do both. But more importantly, because they were truly saved, their desire was to use their God-given gifts to compose hymns that gave testimony to their love for Christ and their willingness to be a testimony for him. That testimony has lived on for many years, extending to us here today, and will go on being a testimony for Jesus as long as Christians are here on earth doing the work of God and spreading the great gospel message of Jesus Christ. That ends the hymn history for tonight. Please turn in your hymn books to page 482. And if you would, please join me in singing this wonderful hymn written for our benefit, admonition, and joyful fellowship with each other and with our great God. Number 482 in the blue hymn book. More about Jesus. Break off into our prayer groups then.